The next adventure of Disney Conversations is about to depart the station. I hope you're all excited for a new journey. All aboard! Well, hello, tourists. Welcome to Disney Conversations. This is tour number 127, and we're going to take a little sidestep from talking about Walt's Florida project just a little bit before we get to Animal Kingdom. Because in thinking about Animal Kingdom, you have to think about the person who was probably most involved in getting Animal Kingdom put together, up and running. And because he had such a long, storied career with Disney, we need to take some time to talk about it. And joining me on this tour is our good friend, tour guide Mindy Muir. Mindy, welcome home.
Hello, hello, hello. It's good to be here. I love your Disney shirt. Listeners, it says Disney Dad, like true, true Disney fan.
And I've got my two girls who will succinctly say they got it from me, and I'm proud of that.
It is perfect for you.
So the Imagineer we're talking about, for anybody who knows anything about Disney, obviously, is Joe Rohde. Have you ever had the privilege of meeting him? I know I haven't.
I have. I did meet Joe Rohde. I saw him at Animal Kingdom. You cannot not meet him, like, know who he is. He's the Imagineer that wears the big old earring. Unfortunately, he did retire, but he's still just, he's all over the park. And you can't talk about Animal Kingdom without talking about Joe Rohde, because Joe pretty much designed the whole park. He just has a hand in everything. All of that is magic created by Joe. He's a big storyteller, and his favorite, I think, like, the biggest, like, chef kiss that I would say was his, was doing Mount Everest.
Yeah, Expedition Everest was definitely his baby.
Doing Expedition Everest. It really was. He loved going out there and finding all the tidbits and the little, you know, the backstory of it. And really, I mean, down to the detail of a paint little splatter. He was so involved in that.
Well, what I want to do is I want to back up a little bit and give people a little bit of some biographical information. Stuff that I didn't realize when I started reading. I'm like, wow. He was born in California, so he's literally right down the street from Disney. But he was raised in Hawaii. What a change.
Yeah.
He joined Disney Imagineering in 1980 after getting a bachelor's degree in fine arts at Occidental College in L.A. And he was hired on as a model designer and scenic painter for the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot.
That is really cool. That's how he got his foot in the door anyway. Yes.
He started out as a painter, so it's not like he started at the top rung of the ladder. He was towards the bottom, and he worked his way up. He had his hand in other projects around the property as well. He helped with some of the updates in Fantasyland. He worked with Captain EO Project. And I remember seeing the pre-show for that, showed everything. I'm trying, was it George Lucas or no, it was John Landis that did that, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think it was John Landis. I'll double check that and make sure. But I remember seeing Joe Rohde in the picture as they're designing the sets and stuff for this.
That's funny, kind of
caught me by surprise. He worked on the Adventurers Club, which I never got to see, but I've heard a lot about, and he had his hands in on Tower of Terror and at Image Works for the Imagination Pavilion. So that's pretty cool stuff.
That is. So yeah, and he started in 1980 when Epcot first started as a model designer. That's what you were saying. And, you know, he did the Mexico Pavilion at first. But Captain EO, I remember Captain EO just a little tiny bit. I know I went for a while and saw it as a kid. It was a great show. Honestly, since Captain EO closed down, that show building really hasn't had anything in it. It's really wasted real estate for Disneyland. There's so much they could do in Fantasyland, and they just don't. But Captain EO, that whole, because it's like a show, like where they, you know, the 3D, 4D shows go in. but it's right between, it's right in front of Space Mountain, the entrance of Space Mountain, and that's where they'd had it, and it, they don't really do anything with it, but it was a great show, and he was in charge of that, and I loved it. They should bring it back. They should bring it back. They're not going to do anything with Disney.
And just to give it like a really cool on that one. The director of it was Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh,
the big name in movies.
Yeah.
So now we know that. And as you said, he was the lead designer and vice president of creative for Disney's Animal Kingdom. From what I understand, he walked into the board meeting while making the pitch. And Michael Eisner was in charge of things at the time, and he brought with him a tiger to help make the presentation.
That seems like
I don't know if that was to be convincing or intimidating, but it worked.
Very Joe Rohde. Very Joe.
And the one thing that he focused on, and he still does in his everyday life, is he focused on conservation and ways to protect wildlife. Everything you see at Animal Kingdom centers around that primary focus.
Yep.
And it's obvious when you go, you just go on Kilimanjaro Safari one time and you'll see the fabulous work they've done with the endangered species, because a number of them are represented there. And in fact, Disney has been, I think, very instrumental in helping bringing some of those species back into existence enough that we get to see what they are.
And so many people like don't even know it's there. I hear people like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know it was a ride. They get on the Rafiki's Planet Watch. I think that's what it's called. They take it over to Conservation Station and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's so cool in there. He really, if you haven't been over there, some people think it's boring. I don't. I think it's very educational. And education mixed in with conservation. Right. And Joe designed that to help with those endangered species.
Once Animal Kingdom got pretty solid, they put him to work on some other things. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think he helped with the design of both Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, I know he was in charge of DVC, Disney Vacation Club, and as well as Alani. But I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I don't think he was in charge, but I think he was at the very least consulted.
Yeah.
Because of his viewpoint on remaining true to the culture of any given area. The story I heard, and maybe you can tell me whether this is true or not, but the story I heard is that when they were in the planning stages for Animal Kingdom, Joe took a team over to Africa and they basically embedded themselves.
Yep.
In a community, learned their ways, understood their language, found out what was important to them, and he brought that back and put it up in a way that we could all understand it.
Absolutely. There's a cast member, and she literally says, you know, I am from Africa, and I was scared to come here. I got a job, and I came to work at Animal Kingdom. And she goes, it was so unreal how realistic it was. I felt like I was home. And it just goes to show the realism that Joe brought with him, and he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody who's been there will see, and you mentioned Rafiki's Planet Watch. I think the good combination on this is go do the safari and then go to Planet Watch, because I think you kind of get both sides of the coin if you do it that way.
Yeah,
absolutely. You see the animals that they have, but you... The thing about Rafiki's Planet Watch, folks, is that if there's a procedure or an exam or something going on with some of the animals, we can actually stand there and observe some of that. And we can see how hard they work. And if you really want to see that, jump over to Disney Plus, because there's a whole show on Animal Kingdom and the things they've done for their animals and stuff. Very educational, and it really augmented my last trip to the safari.
That was, you know, I don't remember the last time I went over there, but it's been a few years. But that place, it really is educational in the safari that you take. The safari is amazing. That's my favorite attraction at Animal Kingdom. I don't walk, I run to it. I always sit in the back because I ask for the back. And that's my tip, you guys. If you ever go on the safari, go to the back. the back gives you the opportunity to have the open air in the back. First of all, it's hella hot in Florida. But when you sit in the back, you're able to turn around and get like the view of the entire just vast landscape and get the animals and no obstructions. Yeah, you do. And to be able to take unobstructed photos and no heads in your pictures, it really is like the best. And just lay back. It's more open. It feels, I've done it all. I've sat in every seat, but it feels so open. Like you're right there. You can turn around. It's like you could touch the animals as you drive by. But that whole attraction, I'm sad that they took out the story that went away with it because they were like, oh, we got to get rid of the poachers. We're after the poachers.
Except the problem with they that, don't is, do that. That is real life.
Yeah, it is. And I get it. It's very, you know, don't want to create any
I guess some you know, families shock were waves. Concerned about the trauma it could leave on kids seeing what appeared to be a bloody carcass.
I agree. They could have taken that part out, but
they could have done something about that to replace like, it.
Downplay and, it.
But still drive the point of the story, which is the greatest enemy of these beautiful creatures is man.
Yeah. They are out to get their tusks and everything else. And I think Joe wanted to portray that and let people know that it's a real issue. Mm-hmm. And that's why they did it. But no, it's just an attraction now. You just drive through and it is what it is, but it's a fantastic attraction. And while you're over there, Joe is also in charge of the meet where you can go see the gorillas. It's a gorilla trail and it is phenomenal. If you don't know it's there, it's kind of hidden and you have to just walk upon it. But there's a big sign that'll say gorilla trail. It's right next to the entrance to Kilimanjaro Safaris, and there's a little food truck right there. Go to the Gorilla Trail.
Gorilla Falls or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's Gorilla Falls because you see water. Yeah, because you go under the waterfall, you see all the birds.
They have silverback gorillas in there, which are rare.
They're amazing.
They separate them unless it's time to breed, but they keep the males apart from the alpha male, who is in with the females. So that's how they procreate the breed, I believe.
They're cuties, though. They're huge. They're huge.
I wouldn't want to meet one alone in a dark forest anywhere. No.
Right? They are gorgeous. I would love to go to Africa and go over there. And oh, my gosh. Can you imagine seeing one? I would love to do that. Go see a real one in real life.
I think that's what makes Animal Kingdom unique in that Joe and his team tried real hard, and I think they succeeded at maintaining some semblance of their natural environments.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We talk about Florida hot, and then Animal Kingdom, we call it Africa hot. I don't know. Maybe they imported the weather to go with it.
It's a different kind of heat.
It's a whole climate thing.
It's a different kind of heat. It is indeed. It's not only hot, but the trees and the water that they retain, it is like 110% humidity in that park. Yeah. The humidity is so high.
So our tip for visiting Animal Kingdom, and you'll get this some more on our next tour because we're going to dive into that more, is go early, leave when it gets hot.
Yep.
With the creation of what we're going to talk about next, that makes that a little harder to do because there's more to see at Animal Kingdom now. And when it was first proposed, a lot of people, and I'll admit that I was on that bandwagon until I saw it, didn't think this should have been put in Animal Kingdom. But Joe was the principal creative force behind Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Yeah.
He worked hand in hand with James Cameron, and they developed, I believe, a land that not only honors the message of Animal Kingdom, but it gives us something fun to visit while we're there.
Oh, yeah.
The hours for Animal Kingdom have had to expand because the crowds expanded the moment they opened this land up.
So I was highly doubtful for Pandora. I am not a fan of Pandora, let me jump back. Avatar. Mm-hmm. Avatar is nothing more than a real life version of Fern Gully. It's Ferngully the cartoon, rewritten just 2.5 hours long. It's the same story. I wasn't pleased, but I do like it. I thought, how are they going to make a land around that film? It's so old. What are they doing? Guys, I ate my words. So let me tell you this. The first time I went on Flight of Passage, first of all, the queue line is exceptional. Every detail of Pandora is not overlooked. I'm talking, you look up, the rocks look like they're floating. Yep. The queue line to the attraction glows. There's waterfalls. There's just these meandering walkways with moss and just gorgeous greenery. The storyline behind the attraction is fantastic. I get in there and you sit down. I don't know if I want to give this away, but there are certain things that happen in this attraction and you're sitting on it like you're riding. It feels like you're kind of like riding a motorcycle. It's similar almost. In like a you've lot got of ways. Your it's similar to riding a motorcycle. It really is. But between your thighs, you feel like the Banshee. I know that's weird, but you do. And I'm going to stop there. I don't want to give it away if you haven't been on it. Go experience it. But I promise you, Joe knocked it out of the park. I've never done this on attraction. I laughed. I cried. I screamed. I giggled. I was shocked. I was terrified. I was happy. Then I was scared. I cried. I laughed. I cried. I laughed. The sensation, you don't even know how to process it the first time you go on it because it's so like your senses are on overload. Your senses aren't, because you can smell things too. It is sense overload. And I literally got off and I was just crying and I'm like, we got to do that again. It is, to me, it is the best attraction that Disney has ever done, period. In my opinion, I think it beats Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, just my opinion. I think it is the best attraction that Disney has ever come up with.
I know it stays in service more than Rise of the Resistance sometimes. That's all I'll say about that.
That is true. That is true. You got it there. But me personally, I would choose to ride that over Rise.
So then Disney shipped him out to California for a little while because they wanted his help.
He did.
On developing Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, which if you don't know what that is, that's a replacement for Tower of Terror out there. And while there are some people that are still boohooing a little bit about the loss of the Tower of Terror, a lot of people are raving about this attraction.
The attraction's great, but it is a Tower of Trash, not a Tower of Terror. I call it the Tower of Trash. It's hideous. The attraction's great, but the outside is hideous. It sticks out like a sore thumb, and it's so bad. It's so bad. Oh, geez. It's worse in person. So when you do make it out here, I'm just warning you. It does not look pretty. But Joe did. He was in charge of it. And the storyline is fantastic. I think it's funner than Tower of Terror. They programmed it a little differently. So you go up and down, I guess, more. That's the only way I can describe it. And I believe it's faster. I would say it is. But it's pretty intense, and it's cute as heck. So Joe knocked it out of the park with that, too. There's nothing that Joe doesn't touch that doesn't turn to gold. Right. Nothing.
Well, and he was the creative leader globally for the Marvel products in Disney parks. Obviously not so much at Disney World, because we're not allowed to put that much in over there. Makes sense to me. He's a very imaginative person, and he's a great creator of experiences. In my opinion,
he also designed, kind of going off trail here. This is new though, and I didn't know this. Did you know this? He served as leading development on Disney Cruise Line's private island, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. I did not know that.
I do seem to remember his name being mentioned when they first talked about not the last D23, but the one before us when they first introduced that idea, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know
again,
that.
That doesn't surprise me because it's a natural setting.
You're right. I was just going to say, this is kind of right up his alley, talking about, you know, doing something outside and the immersive natural. Because to be honest, they didn't want to touch Lighthouse Point like they did Castaway Key. Right. They wanted it to keep as real as possible and not make it. Castaway Key is gorgeous, but it's man-made. Mm-hmm. It is man-made. It's a fake beach. Right. I mean, they brought in and dredged millions and millions and millions of pounds of white sand, like, to make it this gorgeous, fantastic beach, and which it is. But Lighthouse Point is...
It's actually on the island of Eleuthera, which, if you've ever seen pictures of,
oh,
is very lush, very green, and very pretty. And it sounds okay. like what they're trying to do is, instead of tearing down what they've got, they're trying to just insert the little Disney within that setting, which in my mind is right. going to make that much more beautiful and a lot nicer to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. It will. I think, like I said, anything that Joe touches turns to gold, and I cannot wait to see it. We've got a cruise booked, and we're stopping at Lighthouse Point, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, I was looking at cruises, too, because I want to go to Disneyland, but I was considering skipping that to take my wife on a cruise for our 28th anniversary. Is that what that would be? But I might hold off for the 30th anniversary.
That would be so great. You know, Disney Cruise Line. Have you been on a Disney cruise?
No, I've only done one cruise. That was on Carnival years ago before the bigger ships came out.
Yeah.
It was okay, but Carnival's definitely not my cruise line.
Disney Cruise Line, you'll never want to sell another cruise line again. It's fantastic. It really is. I think out of all the Disney vacations, my kids would tell you to take a Disney cruise hands down over visiting any park. Because it, and Joe being in charge of Lighthouse Point, I cannot wait to go see that. So we're taking a 5-day on the Fantasy, which is weird because Fantasy usually does 7. Yeah. But it goes to Lighthouse Point, so it's perfect.
Well, they're changing can't all that around with the wishes coming in soon.
Right.
And then they got a new ship that's supposed to be in by then, too. So they're making room around the world for stuff, I guess.
That's right.
As you stated earlier, Joe's really famous right now for the earrings in his left ear.
Oh, yes, he is.
I don't know how much those weigh, but his neck must be in really good shape.
Well, his earlobe's taken a beating, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really has. He retired from Disney Imagineering in 2020, and I think that was just before the pandemic started. He joined Virgin Galactic as an experience architect.
Oh.
He went to work for a space company.
We need somebody with some imagination. So they brought in the head honcho, Joe.
Space is the final frontier, at least according to one show.
Yes, it is.
But I think when you look at Joe Rohde as a whole, when you look at the person that he is, I remember he went on a trek, was it to Nepal?
Oh, yeah, I heard about
that. Several years ago, and I followed along with him somewhat on Facebook, but he was in some really gorgeous places. He's also a painter. He's an artist of sorts, and he painted a number of pieces, and if I recall correctly, he put them up for auction for charity, and I don't remember which charity, but if I had to guess, probably had something to do with conservation. So just all around, he is somebody I would like to meet.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I'm hoping I run into him somewhere in California at Disneyland. I did meet him at Animal Kingdom once, but he'd be a great person to go eat lunch with, wouldn't he?
I would think so. We did lunch with an Imagineer the first year we went, and I was so hoping it'd be him.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been so nice.
Yeah. Joe is like the supreme of all Imagineers, and we miss him, and we're so glad that he had his hand in so many wonderful things, and that he made our life more Disney-fied.
Very, very much so. And just because he's not with Disney anymore doesn't mean he's not taking what he learned and experienced with him to whatever he's into now. I'm pretty sure he is.
Right.
Well, folks, that'll do it for this tour of Disney Conversations. We hope you've enjoyed this little look at the person of Joe Rohde. On our next show, we're going to talk a little more about Animal Kingdom and how it fit into Walt's Florida project. Until then, we'll talk to you later. Mindy, Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, and I'm so glad to be back, but we'll do it again, and we'll talk some more Disney with
you. Sounds good. We hope you enjoyed this adventure of Disney Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so jump over to the Disney Conversations Facebook page or email us directly at disneyconversations@outlook.com and let us know what you think. Until next time, tourists.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.